This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Home theater nerds, welcome back to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, all of the fun. And we've got a bunch of scenes this week from Final Countdown in 4K. And this movie is being brought to you by Carl. It's not a sponsorship or anything. Carl told me about this movie back in the winter, over the winter, and he's like, you gotta check this out. Carl, our buddy that emails us and provides us with so much information and so much news. Thank you, Carl. So this one's for you, buddy. And wow, thank you for sending this to me. Thank you for encouraging me to do this movie. I had never seen this before, and I had so much fun with it. My son had so much fun with it. I've already reviewed it. I've already done all of my scenes. And this, it was a blast. It's a movie from 1980. So it's not the greatest home theater experience, but at the end of it, I'll give you my recommendation on if you should own this or not. And I'm going to say, I'll let you find out that then. But big news. I got to start the show off with this. Oh, by the way, my name's DJ. This is Brightside Home Theater. If you want to check out the podcast, check out my website, brightsidehometheater.com. Pretty simple. You want to support us monetarily? I'll talk about more of this later after the review. You can go to Patreon, patreon.com, blah, 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 all that. None of that. This is more important. Everybody, big news. I had this last week, but I couldn't say it. My daughter is engaged. She got engaged last weekend. The gentleman, her boyfriend, who is now his fiance, asked me for permission. Of course, I said yes. Greg is a great guy. So they got engaged last weekend. So this past weekend, we had my daughter's graduation party, which turned into an engagement party as well. That's where she announced it to everybody. It was the weekend before that they actually did get engaged, but I had to keep it quiet because she wanted to tell people about it at the party. And I was afraid that you guys are so great that if I said something last week and even you heard about it on Friday, the podcast would have come out Friday. She would have been announcing it on Saturday. And you guys are so great. You would have been on Twitter or wherever and congratulating me. And I appreciate that, but I didn't want it to ruin anything for her. But it's been a whirlwind, to say the least. And that means I got to pay help. I'm helping to pay for a wedding. So what's going on behind that screen is going to be put on hold. My home theater upgrading my projector is going to be put on hold. I got a lot of other priorities. This podcast is not being put on hold. I am not going to stop doing the podcast, but I am taking next week off. Sorry, I need to get some stuff done. And I'm rebuilding and still dealing with that. Believe me, this is my second take at this because the first take, I didn't have my mic on. Another snafu because of different scenes that I'm using. But anyways, yes, my daughter is engaged. We are so proud. We are so happy. I mean, that's what you want for your kids, right? You just want them to be happy. She's very happy. She's like over the moon. So very happy about that. Thought I'd announce that to everybody because I'd love to tell everybody. So, hey, all right, back to Final Countdown. The picture for Final Countdown. Really, really great. Really, really grainy at times. There are some scenes in this movie that you're going to be like, wow, this is 1980 and the color is so vibrant. It looks so great. The shots on the deck of the Nimitz look so great. The colors are popping off of the crew. It's everything looks great. But then you got these long shots and it's like, talk about grainy. It's like Rice Krispie grainy. It's ridiculously grainy. So that gives you back and forth. The sound, The bass at times is fantastic. Not DTSX crazy bass. Not like, I mean, there are some rumbles. No punches in the chest, though. Nothing really to, you know, you wouldn't say this is a great subwoofer test. Let's put it that way. But it is engaged. Your subwoofers are engaged. Your subwoofers are they're working. There's some scenes in that I'm going to talk about where your subwoofers are working really well. There are two great scenes in this movie that I give boxes of. One gets 3 boxes of popcorn. One gets 2 boxes of popcorn. One of them is my favorite scene in the entire movie, and it but for a different reason, and I explain that as well. But yeah, the sound. A lot of great pans. There's some jet pans, and there's some missile pans, and there's some ambient sounds, and a lot of fun. So the popcorn is popping, so let's get to that first scene. And first up, we have the opening, where we always start. And this is a pretty cool opening for a movie from 1980. We have, on the left side of your room, you can hear the Tomcat pilot requesting takeoff from the Nimitz. And then on the right side of your room, you can hear the tower clearing them for takeoff. Then in exactly 30 seconds, we get an image on the screen of the jet engine, the rear engine on the Tomcat, just in your face, dead center on the screen, and then the sudden roar of that engine as that plane is taking off. Your bass in your room gets, your whole room gets filled with the bass. Really, really nice. Not super deep, like I said, not all the way down. I mean, you can feel it. You could feel it in your seat, but it wasn't like, it's just not over the top. It's not crazy amount of bass, but it is pretty cool. And that opening part with the left and then the right, and the pilot, actually, it sounds more like from a radio. And then even the tower replying, it sounds like a little bit less like from a radio, but you can hear the tower talking. That was pretty cool. But then one of my favorite parts of this opening is when the helicopter, as the Tomcat is taking off, you see it flying off in the distance, and it's rising up through the middle of your screen. There's a helicopter that's about to go to Pearl Harbor, I believe. It's about to land in Hawaii, but it's taking off. And it looks like it's taking off from the Nimitz, but I don't think it is. I think that's just their transition, but it was pretty cool how they did it, because one, the sound as the Tomcat's taking off, you can very faintly hear the rotor blades from that helicopter on the right side of front of your room. And then it transitions over as the Tomcat goes away and they follow the helicopter to Hawaii. You can see the helicopter coming in, and it's like that sound is in the middle, but that helicopter didn't come from the Nimitz, or maybe it did. Because it was like weird how it like crisscrossed, but I thought the sound was really cool and how like they transitioned that. And then the helicopter coming over, it was a really cool transition. And the other part that I thought was cool about it was the fact that the whole movie is not based off of this, but the helicopter and the Tomcats are the two things that the people in the past in 1941 actually get to see. So I thought that was pretty cool. And speaking of helicopters and rotor blades, at 3:58, we have rotor blades. Now, this is a scene where Martin Sheen's character is coming in and they're taking off and going to the Nimitz. This is the helicopter that was coming in earlier. So this helicopter is now taking Martin Sheen to the Nimitz, and they're flying over Pearl Harbor and the Arizona, the memorial of the Arizona. And the camera is fixated outside the helicopter, so you can see like Martin Sheen looking down from the open side of the helicopter, the door. And the rotor blades are over your head. Really, really great use of the overheads here. You can hear them whizzing by over your head. It's just a going by over your head as you hear the dialogue of, you know, the crew member on the helicopter and Martin Sheen, and they're pointing out, oh, that's the Arizona, whatever, and everything going on there. But the overheads are really engaged there. So pretty cool use there. At 5 minutes and 32 seconds, we get the USS Nimitz, which is the equivalent version, nice version of the USS Enterprise. When in Star Trek, the motion picture, and they do the flyby when they first present you the USS Enterprise, and it's just a slow motion flyby that took like 20 minutes in that movie. This one doesn't take as long. What they do is they come up from behind it with the helicopter that Martin Sheen's in, and you see the water being churned. And as you get closer and closer, it's more and more white, and you see the churned up water. And then you get right when you get to the Nimitz, all of a sudden this bass gets engaged in your room. You're like, boom, like, I don't think that's how it would work. I've never been that close to an aircraft carrier while it was in motion. But I've been on one, I've been near one, but I've never been around one when they started the engine. But yeah, so, but it was really cool how they went down the side of it, and you get a really good view of that flyby. Like, it took a while to go by, so it's really giving you that great sense of like the size of these behemoths. And especially, I can't even imagine what this was like on the big screen in 1980 and how great this must have been, that flyby. And then the bass, I could feel it in my seat and my whole room is engaged. And it's just, you know, it's just, that's it. You're just flying right by the Nimitz and you're seeing the deck. You're seeing inside the little compartments on the side. Really, really great shot. At 8:14, we have a really nice Tomcat landing, nice high-pitched screeching of the tires, the cable being engaged, the bass coming in, really, really cool there. At 16 minutes and 29 seconds, heading into the storm. So we have the Corsair landing here as well, but the thunder and lightning that they used in this scene, part of it was like they just sent like white flashes at the screen, like they just whited out the entire screen for instances to create lightning effects. But there is some lightning in the background. You could see it in the sky, lightning effects coming down. But the thunder was so cool. It sounded like there was one part where it sounded like it was like right over your head. Really, really great bass there. The whole room, and it just filled up because as the scene played out, it actually moved the thunder around, like the focus of the thunder. There were times like when you're inside the ship, you're looking at the characters and the thunder goes off and it sounded like it was right over your head. But then there's other times when they're moving around, they're looking at different, the camera's looking at something else, but now the thunder sounds like it's over here. And then it's over on the left and over on the right. And the lightning as well, you know, like the further away it is, you'll see the lightning and then you hear the thunder. They changed that up as well, which I thought was pretty cool. Like at different times, like you'd see some lightning, there'd be a delay and then you'd hear the thunder. And then it was a little closer and then a little further. So it really gave you that effect of a weird storm going on. I also liked the color in this scene because they had that wonky looking oil to water effect. It's like a yellowish going across the screen. Like they were going, like that was that weird storm they were going into, but it was really kind of strange. And it's that one was pretty cool, but the thunder and lightning, and we get more of that in a second, by the way, the thunder and lightning was really cool in that scene. But then at 18 minutes and 36 seconds, they actually go back in time. And then the sound really ramps up and it actually hurts your ears a little bit. You actually sit there and go, wow, at reference level, this is bordering on painful. But that's kind of a cool thing because the characters in the movie are all grabbing their head and they're all like in pain. It's like guys on the deck are going down to one knee. You got people inside the, you know, the tower and they're hunched over their monitors or they're grabbing their desks and everybody's in pain. Everybody's dropping to the floor or to the desk or whatever. And it just really is like a really cool effect that kind of really hurts. And But then you get more of that wash that's going around the screen of that oil to water, that yellow there that I was talking about. You get that. Couple of weird looking scenes. They do a lot of silhouetting, and which of the characters isn't bad, but the silhouette of the Nimitz heading into the storm, I thought looked too model-ish, but we're spoiled nowadays. This is a 40-year-old movie. So back then, I'm sure everybody was, you know, just enthralled and like, this looks fantastic. But nowadays, that the silhouette of the Nimitz riding off into the storm looked kind of funny. But I really enjoyed that scene a lot. Really enjoyed that a lot. At 29 minutes and 59 seconds, we get a takeoff. So this is two Tomcats taking off from the Nimitz. Great base, great color, very reminiscent of Top Gun, which is weird for me to say because, well, this is a movie about going back in time. So I'm going back in time, but I've already seen Top Gun. So I guess I can take the liberty of flipping it and like, who's copying who? When clearly we know how history played out. But and they're also just copying what you do when you take off. I mean, these have got to be literally just like stock footage that they got from the Navy to be able to get this. And then I thought it was pretty cool how they showed the Tomcats taking off, and then they showed the pilots with the, you know, saluting and giving the signal, the hand signals and everything, which is exactly what Tom Cruise does 6 years later when he's filming Top Gun. I thought that was really cool. But the color, again, I can't get over how great being on the deck of the Nimitz looks, how great the color looks on these planes. Like I said, very reminiscent of Top Gun. Great use of that. Full room engagement of when these two Tomcats just shoot right off the end of the deck. I thought it was fantastic. Really, really cool. At 32:50, we're going to move this one to the end because this is, I think this is my favorite scene of the movie. So I'm going to move that to the end. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not even going to give you the title, but it was my son and I were like, we got to watch that again. It was awesome. It was just so great. But I'm going to move that one. We're going to wrap up all of the scenes with that scene because it was so, so good. But so let's jump up to 38 minutes and 24 seconds. Thirsty Tomcats. This just sounds really cool, and it looks really cool. The image, I thought they did a great job of giving you that environment. This is two Tomcats coming in for a drink. They're in 1941, but they're getting refueled in midair. And I just thought that the sound, it put you up there with them. It sounded like you hear the wind going, you hear the engines from the planes, you hear like just everything sounded appropriate. And you can hear the pilots talking to each other. Just a great use of sound here. But also just watch this scene and just, you know, just absorb the view. It just looks so nice. The blue sky, the planes, the seeing what they're seeing and how like even the back end of the fuel line that was coming out to them that they have to line up to and seeing that the nozzle from the Tomcat come out to the side, which is right to the side of the cockpit. So it makes it easier for them to line it up because it's sitting there. It looks like he could reach out and grab it if he opened the cockpit. It's that close. And they just did a really good job of filming this and just putting you right in that cockpit, right in that seat and being able to see everything, but you're actually not in the cockpit. You're actually outside of the plane, being able to see all this. I thought it was beautifully, beautifully shot. Really enjoyed that scene. Check that out at 38:24. And I'm going to give that a couple of boxes of popcorn, by the way. Then at 43:55, we have a yacht attack. And this is where the Japanese planes come down and basically they light up the yacht that's got the senator on it. And it's really nice base of this plane, of these planes coming in. And the gunfire is just, it's just okay. I would have liked a little bit more base there, but maybe they were just going for that. They were older, you know, Japanese guns from the 40s. So they didn't want them to have the punch that the Tomcats have. So maybe it was effective, if that's what they were going for. But it was pretty cool how they came down. The sound got more intense as they got closer. Obviously, everybody on the yacht's getting anxious as the planes are getting closer. The sound is getting closer. So it really built the scene for you. And I thought that was, it was a pretty cool scene. But this next scene at 47, started at 47 minutes even. This is where the Tomcats engage the Japanese planes. This is getting two boxes of popcorn, by the way. They just start with flybys, but let's actually back up a second. Let's go to the 47-minute mark. So I believe that the senator and the woman that was helping him write the speeches and stuff, or the speechwriter, they're in the water, and she was helping the dog up onto the board at the time. But if you pay attention, like when they're looking at the when you're looking at the water, you can hear the Tomcats in the background. And it's depending on where they are, how you're looking at them in the water, where that is going to sound like it's coming from in your room. I think when she was helping the dog up, you could hear the Tomcats off in the distance on the left side of your room, which it was just really, really nice. And then when they got closer, they went and talked to, or you went and looked at the Tomcats. You're up in the sky now. The sound gets that much more engaged in your room. You're right next to a Tomcat. But then the engagement that they had, it was this scene here. The reason I gave it two boxes of popcorn is I thought the sound was really good. We had some really nice pans where the first Japanese plane comes in and it comes from center to the right rear. And then the Tomcat comes up the same way. He goes a little higher up on my screen. So the sound went a little bit more to the left side, then pan down, comes down through the center and off to the right following the Japanese plane. I thought that was really nice. And then there are other pans as well where they go back and forth across the front of your room. Just different. I mean, you can hear the score. The score was in there too. That sounded really cool. But the way they were just teasing them and playing with them, I've got to wonder, like, was this scene here, again, started at 47 minutes and it goes on for quite a bit. 2 minutes, when we get into the control tower at 49 minutes and 20 seconds, I'll talk about that in a second, but my point in this scene was this the entire basis of Top Gun? Like, did they say we need to make a movie where this is what all we're going to do is we're just going to toy with other planes and we're going to, you know, so they have the Top Gun program and we're going to do that so we could see little planes go up against Tomcats and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is that where the inspiration for Top Gun came from? Because this scene looks like most of the battles in Top Gun when they were in training, and it just so cool. Really, really cool. But anyways, back to the scene itself and how it's playing out at 49 minutes and 20 seconds. It's not really a timestamp. It's just, that's how long we're still, they just said in the plane, like, why are we toying with these guys? So then right from there, we go to the control tower and they're making the decision. What are we going to do? They're headed this way. What should we do? But pay attention to that. Like, now you're in the control tower. You just came out of the sky listening to jet zoom all around you. But now you get the quieter noises of the control tower and you can hear in the background, in the rear of your room, you can hear like computers going or something. You hear little things going all around you. Just a completely different sense of ambience going on from what you just experienced with all of the sound going around the room of the jets and everything, jets and planes, regular planes, that is. So that was pretty cool at 49:29. But then at 49:20, at 50 minutes and 30 seconds, we get the missile launch. And that's where they finally decide, okay, splash these guys, get rid of the Japanese planes because they're heading to the aircraft carrier. So we don't want them there causing any damage. So they shoot down the first one. He crashes into the water. That was pretty cool. Obviously, the guns on the Tomcat, a little bit deeper than the guns that are on the Japanese planes. But then the second one gets blown out of the sky. My son and I cracked up because that pilot had no idea what was coming. They don't even know what missiles are at that point. They don't know. We weren't launching missiles like that. And he just, 1 minute he's there, boom, next minute. Phew. But the sound for that, It actually did pan very nicely. Tomcats, you know, center right of your screen, missile launch from there, and you get the sound center right of your screen, and it goes boom right by you. It takes off to the left, and then boom, splash, hits the plane, and boom, and the plane explodes in front of you. Really, really great pan there. Really enjoyed that. But yeah, at 47 minutes, that's all part of that 47 minute. Start at the 47 minutes and it goes to 50, 30 till the second. So it's 3 minutes of just a lot of fun. That's why I gave that 2 boxes of popcorn. Then at 1 hour, 28 minutes, 10 seconds, 3 boxes, see my fingers? 3 boxes of popcorn, launch aircraft. This is almost my favorite scene of the movie, but it's still unbelievable. This is what a great scene. So Kirk Douglas says, launch aircraft. And I think they launch every plane on the ship. Every single plane. I mean, it's unreal. Just when you think this scene is over, like, okay, we're going to launch a few and I've seen them all. It just keeps going. This scene goes from 1 hour, 28 minutes and 10 seconds all the way to 1 hour, 29 minutes and 58 seconds, which is almost 2 minutes straight. But that it doesn't feel like 2 minutes is it's not even 2 minutes. It's less than 2 minutes, but it's 2 minutes straight of launching aircraft. Everything, the pans going across there's one part, the base is incredible. There's one, and again, it's from 1980. It's not like deep DTSX, you know, make your walls shake base. It's appropriate. There's one part where a Tomcat is taxiing to be able to take off, and just the room, the vibration in your seats, and the bass just comes even deeper just because the engines are like whatever it is. But the different planes, the different engines panning by, the way they shot it, and the way they focus in on, sometimes it's just a missile's going by, the end of the wings are going by, the cockpits are going by, the plane, the overhead shots, and you're seeing two off the end of the deck, just boom, taking off. The entire scene, this scene here, when it was over the first time my son and I watched this, we both looked at each other and went, I could just watch that all day long. That could be the entire movie. This scene right here, If you watch nothing else in your theater from this movie, watch this scene. This scene is worth buying the movie for. It's just that much fun. I don't think you'd be disappointed owning it if you just watch this scene. It's over and over, just planes taking off. It's so, if you like to watch planes take off, if you like to watch planes take off from an aircraft carrier, and you love home theater, and if you're hearing me now, we're well into this podcast, so you love home theater. You could check that box off. You got to check this scene out. If you don't have it on disc, find this movie somewhere, and you'll check out this scene at 1 hour, 28 minutes and 10 seconds, 3 boxes of popcorn, launch aircraft, and they do. And then at 1 hour and 33 minutes, pretty much even, this is where the Nimitz comes back. It comes back to 1980. And basically we get a replay of everything, of what happened earlier with the pain and the sound, and basically the same sounds in your room that are painful to hear at reference level. But what was different, I almost didn't put this one in because it's kind of redundant. It's the same as we had earlier. But the way they mixed in the sound from history, the sounds of what was going on in Pearl Harbor, and that's why I titled this one Pearl Harbor, because at 1 hour, 33 minutes, the Nimitz is coming back to our present time right when the Pearl Harbor attack takes place. So you hear everything. You hear like the historical recordings of that, of FDR talking about, you know, the day of living infamy, easy for me to say, all of that playing out at the same time that we're getting this horrible sound because we're traveling back in time. I thought that was a cool mix of sound there. Kind of sad too, of what you could have, what could have been, what could have been, but how would history change? But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the home theater of experience, and I thought that was a pretty cool effect right there. Now, let's get to my favorite scene from the movie. I hope I don't disappoint you, because this is, it's just my favorite scene of the movie. My son and I, we had a blast with this scene. We actually backed it up, watched it again. It's just, it's because of what takes place. The home theater part of it is fantastic. I'm giving it 2 boxes of popcorn. This scene is at 32 minutes and 50 seconds. Are They Ours is what I'm titling it. And this is when the Tomcats first come down and they buzz the tower. They buzz the yacht for the first time. The senator's on there, the crew, the woman that's helping him, I think it's another senator or whatever. They're all on the ship and they sit on the yacht, the little yacht and the dinghy in the water practically. And these Tomcats come at them. And the home theater part of this is fantastic. Again, as these Tomcats are coming at them, the bass, the sound, your room is just building and building. The sound, as it gets closer and closer to the yacht, the sound is just getting more and more enveloping in the room. And then right when they get to the yacht, and then it's almost like they just launch straight up in the air above the yacht, but they just come in and go straight up. And it's just a great, peak of sound right there as they take off. And that's where they get the line, are they ours? Like they don't know what they're looking at. Because one guy on the yacht even says, he goes, the speed, like, what are those? And my son and I, but even before the Tomcats got to the yacht, we were like, oh boy, this is going to be awesome. Because we can't even wrap our heads around that right now. Like, I can't even think of anything like a plane now that would be back in 1980 that when me as a 10-year-old kid in 1980 would have been like, wow, what was that? I mean, even the stealth bomber only came out a few years later and we would have just been like, oh, okay, wow, it's a weird shape. But those planes compared to what they had then, they didn't even have helicopters then. So that was later in the movie as well, that the helicopter was a big deal to them. My son and I actually looked that up. They had invented the helicopter, I think, in 1939. So it was around, but not to the point that people knew what they were. So these two Tomcats, the speed that they're flying at, the jet engines being able to do that. And to think about this, that's the other part of this whole thing in this movie, is like in 40 short years, that's how far we've come. You have the Nimitz sitting there 40 years. It only took 40 years. What have we done since 1980 that equals that? Well, I guess technology with the iPhone and with, how we've shrunk a computer, stuff like that. But the sheer terror that those planes can induce, we don't have anything like that now. It just, that scene, it was just so much fun. And like I said, even before they got to the plane, my son and I felt like we were on, before they get to that yacht, we felt like we were on that yacht. We could not wait for the people on the yacht to see what they were about to see. Very similar to when they started toying with the Japanese pilots and we're like, oh boy, here they go. They're going to play with them. This is going to be fun. And it just, this movie was just so much fun. I had such a great time doing this movie. I can't believe I had never seen this movie before. And I'm pretty sure it was Carl that recommended this movie to me and asked me to do this back in the winter. And I ordered it right away. I was very excited to get it in. Very happy to be able to do this movie. It's not the best home theater experience ever. But if you own a home theater and you own Top Gun and you own these, you really should have this movie. Really, really should. I can't imagine how much it is. I haven't even looked. I'm too excited. I'm not here to sell things. I'm just here to give you my opinion. And my opinion on this movie is if you own a home theater, you got to own it. I'm sorry. It's just so much fun. And just everything about it, like, should they even engage with the Japanese? Should they change history? Should they not change history? There's so many conversations. It's such a conversation starter. And it's just so much fun. And yeah, I can't, I I can't give it a higher praise than that. It's a must own. Really enjoyed it. So now, what do we want to get to next? Do we want to get to listener comments, movies and scenes, new releases that I'm excited to be checking out? I don't know. What do we think here? Oh, and before we get to any of that, this is my 100th episode. In all of the excitement of the engagement, I forgot to announce that at the open of the show. But for everybody that stuck around and is still listening, thank you. You guys that's still listening right now, and believe me, I didn't plan this at all. I meant to open the show with, hey, everybody, my 100th episode. I didn't even know. I set my reminder on my phone that the 100th should have been coming up on the 20th of the month, but because I did a couple of double up weeks or stuff, this is it. If you go on, last week was the 99th. This week is the 100th episode. Hey. Thank you to everybody that's helped me out all along the way. There's so many people. I don't even want to start giving names because I know I'll forget names. But everybody, you guys all know who you are. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate everything that everybody's done for me. Promoting me on Twitter. Promoting me on YouTube. Encouraging me to do other things. Getting into YouTube. And at this point, maybe at the 100th episode, I'm thinking, what do you guys think of Discord? I've never done it. My daughter and her, well, fiance now said they wanted to set me up with one and we could all talk there. This is my idea. My idea for this is if we all went there and talked, it would make it easier for me to, when we get to listener comments, I would just go through that. But what the now here's where I have a problem with it a little bit is it sounds easier to me because I would just ignore everything else and we would bring everything to Discord and then we would have our conversations there. People, you guys could all talk. This, I've never done it, but from what I understand, everybody can talk there. And even if I'm not there, and then I just jump in on conversations and we can have fun with that. But I see, I love the idea of bringing the bright side to Twitter. Everybody thinks Twitter is a cesspool, and I love engaging there because it is a challenge. I love that challenge. That's why, like, when John and I started out doing this, we came up with the bright side because, one, for home theater, I like the bright side of the screen, talk about the fun of the movies, but then it was also the bright side of the negativity. Let's fight through that negativity. So I kind of liked that. And if I went that Discord way, I feel like I would be ignoring that. But it would make my life easier, but I don't want to lose listeners and friends that I've made on Twitter, if that makes sense. So you guys let me know. DM me, email me, let me know what your thoughts on it are, and we'll go from there. But anyways, this is my 100th episode. I can't believe I've done 100. I know I said I'm taking next week off. I'm going to take next week off. I need some time to hang out with my wife. I need some time to actually get into my theater and watch some movies just because. But we're going to do some day trips and stuff like that and have some fun. My wife and I take the car out for a drive. But anyways, that's it. I'm very excited. I can't believe I've done. And hey, names I will mention, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. AV Rant, Tom, Rob, HT Guys, Braden, Ara. Thank you guys so much. I went, what did I do? Probably 20 episodes and 20 podcasts before meeting them. And then it's in skyrocket. So thank you to both of them. Thank you. And Tom, this is for you, buddy. I know you need another drink. But yeah, it's been such a ride. It's been so much fun. I can't wait to do more. I mean, I'm at 100 right now. I can't even, and it took me almost 2 years to get here, obviously, at doing roughly one a week. Iron Braider at over 1,000. And I'm like, so I've got 20 years left to catch them. It doesn't even make sense. It's amazing what those guys have done and how long they've been at it. So that's pretty cool. And AV Rant's not far behind. I think they're in the 800s now or something like that. But yeah, so thank you to all those guys. Thank you to everybody that's been on the podcast that's helped me out. Thank you to everybody behind the scenes that's helped me with computer issues, that's helped me with Zapedi issues, that's helped me with home theater issues, that's suggested ideas, that's promoted me, that's done everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because without you guys, it's just me sitting here talking to the camera like this, like I'm doing right now, and I'm pretending you're listening and you're laughing and you're applauding and everybody's having a great time. So all right, enough with the sound. All righty, let's get to some new releases. What's coming out next week? Nothing. Oh well, nothing. But I am looking forward to, I picked up the Transformers movie. I'm going to be checking that out this week. The original from the 80s, the Transformers animated series. Looking forward to seeing that in 4K. I don't have like a lot of high hopes for that though, because it 4K in animation, it's like how many pixels can you put in to make a red car? It's just all red. There's no gradation in a car or in the animation, you know? So I don't have high hopes, but I have a theater and I love buying media, physical media. So I got to own it. And I do have a wedding to pay for, but I still will be doing my physical media. That I will definitely be doing. It's all the little extras that I like to do that I'm going to cut back on. Let's see, what else do we got? Movies and scenes this week. And scrolling through my emails and my Twitter feed, I didn't see anybody specifically send anything like a movie or a scene that they needed to check out. So if you want to send those in, we'll talk about them right here. Movies and scenes of the week. Particularly scenes. Like if you come across a scene that you really liked, that maybe the sound overhead sounded really good. Stuff I talk about here that you noticed in a movie, even if it's in a movie, like if you see, you know, Final Countdown and you notice something I didn't talk about, bring it up and we'll talk about it here. I want to say, like, could you email me those? Because it's easier to file those away that way. So could people email me that stuff or DM me? How about that? That makes it easier to file those away for me. I'm trying to streamline my work to make this more consistent, make it easier for me so I have to spend less time actually prepping for the show and just more time watching movies and doing the show. So yeah, email me or DM me, any DM me on Twitter, unless that Discord thing takes off, and we'll see about that in the future. But yeah, let me know scenes and we'll talk about them here. Next up, listener comments. One of my favorite parts of the show. That's why I moved it to the end. I love talking about what you guys are talking about. And we have one this week that comes in from Steve George. And I don't even need to read the tweet, but it was a tweet about concessions and the candy and the popcorn. And he sent me a picture of, I think it was a chocolate chip cookie. And he's like, what do you think of this? And do you like this? And I don't think I've ever had that particular candy or that particular cookie. But the point of the tweet was, we could do an entire podcast just on concessions alone. Do you like popcorn? Do you like popcorn with butter? Do you like popcorn without butter? Do you like it with a little shaker cheese on top? That's my favorite. Which of the shaker cheeses do you like? If you're over in another country and you don't know what I'm talking about, shaker cheese, maybe you don't have, I don't know. Because who knew that? I mean, I thought the entire world, including the moon, had Junior Mints. So when Steve George, why does he all of a sudden, like, it's a big deal to get Junior Mints? Junior Mints are the greatest candy ever because they're delicious and they freshen your breath. So you're out on a date as a kid, you pop in a couple of those bad boys, and you're ready to go. I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better than that. Just make sure you get the dark chocolate off of your teeth. That's not cool. But, I mean, you got gummy bears. You've got Twizzlers. Twizzlers. How many people have drank soda through a Twizzler because it was just fun to do, right? While you're watching a movie. Think of all of the different candies that you can, I mean, oh, Jujubes. You throw those at the screen, I guess. I don't know. Malt balls. I don't even like malt balls, but I eat them in my theater because they remind me of when I was a little kid and my mother bought them for me at, I think it was A Lady and the Tramp or something like that. The animated movie was like, here, this is all they had. And I was like, I don't even like these. But I have a memory of eating these things in a theater in Milford, Mass. And I was like, that's where my memory is. So there's so many different things. Send me that. I'm going to put together, send me your favorite candy, concessions, everything like that. And we'll talk about it here. I don't know when. We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. I'll put a bunch of them together and we'll see what we got, what we come up with. I'll do a concessions podcast or something like that. All the candies and popcorns and sodas and drinks and stuff like that. That could be a lot of fun. Mark V at Husboo333 says, at Brightside HT, I feel foolish again. Just watched The Abyss. Can't remember ever seeing it before. I now side with everyone else. Needs a 4K transfer and a part two. Yes, it does. And I asked him if he had seen the extended version or the standard theatrical release. And he said he'd only seen the theatrical release. But I was like, oh, you've got to find that, you know, the extended version where there's so much more. It's a different movie practically. But he said, it's funny. He said, he goes, oh, I'll have to pick up the Blu-ray. I'm like, it's not even on Blu-ray yet. And that's the crime here. It's never mind. Do we need a 4K? I need that on Blu-ray. I have it on DVD, but that just doesn't transfer well to the big screen now. Cause I don't even think it's anamorphic. If I remember right, I haven't watched that in a while. But he watched it on, what did he say? I can't remember where he watched it. I think he streamed it. But yeah, that movie it's awesome. It's such a great movie. I want to say it paved the way. No, I know it paved the way. I want to say it came out in 1990, and it did pave the way for Terminator 2, because all of the work that they did on that with the water and everything, that's what led to the T-1000 and being able to have the confidence to do that in Terminator 2, the liquid metal thing. But aside from that, I mean, just the movie itself, the story, I mean, it's funny, and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a soapbox here, but the kids today think that this whole climate change thing and everything, and that's all new, and this hasn't been around. It's like, that's what The Abyss is about. That's what that movie is about. It's about climate change. It's about take care of your planet, or it'll take care of you, like, badly. So it's like, I mean, that's 30 years old, and stuff was going on about that before then. So it's funny how, and I teach my kids this all the time, it's like, this isn't new stuff. We've been talking about this for a long time. People have been fighting to promote it, and people have been against it, and blah blah blah. It just feels new now because of social media, and people, it's a new media to be able to talk to the whole world about it. So, but anyways, that's my soapbox for today. Let's get back to some listener comments. And in emails, we have John chiming back in with his Atmos Music issue that we talked about last week. If you remember, he was talking how, like, Apple was a certain way, and he didn't really, and I wasn't 100% clear. So he said it was a problem with Tidal Atmos. I Googled it. Tidal has like a 14 dB offset compared to non-Atmos tracks. Apple doesn't. So it wasn't Apple that was giving him an issue. It was Tidal. And to be honest, I don't even know what Tidal is. I haven't used Tidal. I don't know what that is. I've just used Apple Music. So, but yeah, for anybody else that, you know, for the information regarding last week. And Carl sent in a bunch of emails again. And one of them actually was pretty cool. He has is a business card holder, and it had the THX logo on it. That was pretty cool. I thought it was funny. This is one of the ones he sent to all of us as well. Dish and Warner Media end feud, bringing HBO Max, blah, blah, blah. back to Dish. And I left Dish 2 years ago, and they hadn't had HBO in a year at the time. I was like, how is Dish still in business? But that's the thing. You don't need to have HBO anymore because you get, everybody's doing things like independently now or piecemealing it. You have your apps. I think more and more people are doing it that way where it's like, I don't need to have Dish. I don't need to have cable. I just went with, I'll just do all my apps and that's where I'll get all my content. And that's how I do it here. And I saved a ton of money. I saved well over $100. I think it's $125 a month I save. And I actually put some of that money back into my internet. So I'll give you an idea on how, like what I was doing before. For my Dish, and I got, when I had Dish, I was paying like $175 a month for Dish. And I was getting everything. And but that didn't include HBO. When I got HBO, it was like $200 a month because that's how much it cost to have HBO. So I dropped it, had to pick it up streaming. And so $175 there, I was paying $75 for my internet. And I'm like, and then on top of that, I was getting Netflix and I did do Disney Plus had just come out at the time. So I had all those peripherals. Soon as I dropped Dish, I picked up Fubo. Fubo with all of the same channels that I was getting on Dish. I still had Hulu, which I had before anyways, all of those other things being equal. I basically knocked that $175. I was paying $75 a month and that included Red Zone. And then what was cool about Fubo, and I'd love to shout this out to people because I think it's such great business practice. In December, the day after the season ended, it was December or January, but it was the day after the NFL season ended, Fubo sent me an email, would you like to cancel Red Zone? And it was $10 a month because the season was over. What business does that? Most businesses are hoping you forget and then you just pay the $10 for Red Zone through January into August and they just get the money. But I was like, that was pretty cool to me. That like they and I was like, it makes me a loyal customer to that. It's like I actually feel bad if I moved away from them. I'm like, they're trying to save me money. So in non-football season, it actually drops to $65 a month. I was still paying my internet of $75, but now so for $65, I'm saving $110 right there. It's ridiculous, and I was like, it's so great. But that's the key is like to do all the streaming and cable or Dish, that's expensive, but you have to drop one, get rid of it entirely. And that's how you save the money. And that's what I've been doing. So then I took some of that savings and I put it from the budget and I put it into my internet and I upped my internet to a 1 gig line. And it cost me like another $30 a month. And I'm like, that's nothing compared to what I was paying before. So now I'm flying through the internet and I can, you know, and I get all of my content, no buffer, no, and my content looks great. So I can't complain. That's just how I handle the bright side of the screen for all of my streaming content. Just thought I'd let you guys know that. But I thought that was weird. It took Dish this long to finally get HBO. I'm like, but who cares? Who cares? Let's see. What else? I think that's enough for this week, to be honest with you. We have, I don't really see anything else of note. If I've forgotten a great comment that you made, let me know. Hit me up and I'll be sure to get it into next week's or the next time I'm on. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Thank you to all my Twitter followers. Hey, I do have some new Twitter followers this week, by the way. We have, let's see, we have Josh Stevens. We have Vile Vels. And we have Movie Chatter Podcast. And TFFT Cinema, but I think I included that one the last time we had one. But if I already did, no harm, no foul. Thank you for joining me on Twitter. Thank you for promoting the podcast. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. And thank you to my 14 patrons. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. If you want to support the podcast monetarily and join my 14 patrons and helping me out, pay for all of this lavish studio here. If you want to join them, you can go to Patreon at Patreon/ Brightside Home Theater. And you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. And they take it once a month. They'll take your money from you. They'll give most of it to me, keep a little bit of it for themselves. And it's a fun way to help, you know, to be a part of the podcast, to help. And I do put stuff out there from time to time for Patreon only. I probably definitely will be doing something next week for Patreon only, seeing I'm off for the week. And I like to send stuff to those guys every now and then. But more to come. As I get more and more Patreon supporters, I'll grow even more. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to the 14. Thank you to everybody. It's been 100. Let's do, well over 100 more. I'm really looking forward. It was one of my favorite parts of the week, sitting down, talking to you guys. I get so excited about this. I'll tell you a quick little story before I go. The first part, I did about 30 minutes of Final Countdown, recorded the entire thing. And right behind this curtain right here is a door that goes upstairs. I left the door open. I didn't care. I was having fun. My wife and daughter are upstairs listening to me record like this. And I had a blast. I was telling you guys all about Final Countdown. And I went to listen to it back, and my mic wasn't on the entire time. I had set up a different scene like I have right now, and because of the crash and everything's different, I'm still getting things back, and my mic wasn't on. So I recorded the entire thing, and it was literally just me. It's a video of just me talking with no audio in it whatsoever. So I had to redo that entire 30 minutes of the podcast, and my wife and daughter felt so bad. They're like, you were so excited. You were so happy. And I was like, that's okay. I can generate it again. No problem. No problem at all. I sit down to talk to you guys, and boom, here it comes. So, hey, that's what it is. So, guys, thank you and ladies. I know I have some ladies out there listening. I appreciate everybody. Thank you very much. Have a great week, everybody. Have a great 2 weeks. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I will be on Twitter. I will be talking. So hit me up there. DM me with those movies and scenes. You can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And check out the website as well. And check me out. If you're not already watching on YouTube, go there and hit subscribe. I do have a lot of subscribers, so I'm happy about that. A lot for me is like 380 or something like that. So I'd like to get that number up there, but I got to do some more how-to videos. And I'm rambling and rambling because I don't want to go. It's going to be another 2 weeks. See how much fun I have. Hey, everybody, have a great week. Love everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much. 100 down. Many, many more to go. Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.